Good morning, everyone. I am blessed this morning to have hope and talked a little bit about that last week. And this morning I have a subject on my mind that I'd like to share if I could. I'd like to call it, if I could, Windows of Faith. May we live by faith, which worketh by love as a witness, and while facing death. I want to read some scriptures this morning. In John 15, 9 through 17, John 15, 9 through 17, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That is the verse I want to concentrate a little bit on this morning, and I want to share some stories. But continuing, it says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in his name, he may give you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." I also want to share a couple more passages before I share some stories with you. Psalms 119, 75 through 77. I know, O Lord, that the judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Yet I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. I am not worried so much anymore whether I die one day, because we're all going to die one day. I feel in my heart that I've been delivered, but there are some afflictions that I have. And I want to share with you some stories that are real to me. And they're part of my family history somewhat. But yet, we have so many stories in the Word of God about so many beautiful situations of people having to depend on God for deliverance. I mean, I'm just amazed at the battle plans that were all God and all the children of Israel had to do is be the recipients of the victory. And it just amazes me that the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace were dependent on God Almighty. And even Nebuchadnezzar, a dictator who was a child of God, a pagan king, looked into the furnace and said, "There's one like unto the Son of God." Like unto means to me the Son of Man. Okay? And we have many other stories. The Mad Gadarene. You know, the Lord came to him. He crossed the Sea of Galilee. And it's amazing to me that the disciples were so afraid of dying that night, or whenever it was, I think it was late evening. And, you know, the Lord was asleep in the boat, and he had told them previously that he was going to go to the other side. So I guess they missed that part, that they weren't going to drown in the Sea of Galilee. So, you know, that shows how weak we are, really. But when he went to the other side, it is so amazing to me the love that he had. He had an appointment with a man that had been cutting himself up, and the city had cast him out, and he was among the tombs cutting himself up. How we cut ourselves up so many times with the law, and how we cut up ourselves so many times with things we think we have to do to please God, when we just need faith. And it needs to be faith which worketh by love. And we just talked about that love. And greater love hath no man than one given his life for his friends. So I think the Lord went across that sea to meet a friend, somebody that was plagued with many things, but God delivered him. Jesus delivered him, and he was in his right mind. I don't have time to read the whole story. I'm just trying to paraphrase the highlights as I see it. But, you know, the demons went out into the swine and they ran off the cliff. Boy, not very smart pigs, right? But anyway, the people in that town, they bid him to leave, you know. And then the mad Gadarenes wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord said, no, I want you to stay here and tell what great things I have done. We don't know the rest of that story. Could have been a pastor. Could have been a preacher. He was a preacher. How about that? We're all preachers, by the way. Men, women, boys, and girls. We're all preachers. Brother Marty is the called pastor, but we're all preachers. We're all witnesses. And this man witnessed to his people in his town. And that, I believe, is what God is bidding us to do right now. Go to your town. We have a little town right here. Witness to each other. We're one body, one faith. We have one God, one Father. I know I'm paraphrasing that in Ephesians 4:4. And for the interest of time, I'm trying to get to the meat of my subject a little bit. But keep these things in mind that we have a big town out there. And there's a lot of people to share with. Amen. And these are people that have never heard the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ times two. Without it, the spiritual death, burial, and resurrection in those 3 hours by the Son of Man, we have no eternal life. Our salvation is not a physical salvation. It's a spiritual salvation. And we're going to heaven because of his spiritual death, burial, and resurrection to his Father when he laid down his life as a friend. The year was 1942 in the spring. His name was Private Alton Carl Thornton. After only being married 11 months to a young woman of 17, he was shipped off to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to go into training for World War II. He was the second of 8 children. He had 7 sisters. Think of that. 7. Some of them had great names, Grace. And it's just an amazing story. But he kissed his young wife, who was 17 years old, and said goodbye and went off to training. And when he was there, he caught the flu, I understand, and there was a little bit of delay in his being shipped overseas to Italy. And he was able to go through training, and then he was shipped off to fight the war in Italy. That man was married to my mother, and she was 17 years old and only had been with him 11 months. On Angio Beach in Italy, he was killed. He laid his life down for his friends. 7 sisters. He was the only son in his family. And my mom was made a widow. He had been injured previously and received a Purple Heart. He was mended back up in a field hospital. Then he went back. And was shot in the heart through the Bible that he had in his heart, in his pocket. I have that Bible today, and it's bloodstained, and it just reminds me that someone laid his life down for his friends. If that man had lived, I wouldn't be here. Somebody had to die for each of us to be here and be what we are spiritually. I tell that story to tell another story. On 5 September 90, another young man kissed his wife goodbye, 3:30 in the morning. He had previously told his squadron commander that he would go, send me. I had been there in Germany, the same country that we freed from Nazi Germany. Now I've been there 4 years, had delayed my assignment there another year so that, well, to do something that I really enjoy with my family, go skiing. But little did I know, my wife did get pregnant and that I would leave, and I had promised that I would be there, and I wasn't. On September the 5th, 90, or excuse me, on 5 September, August 90, Saddam Hussein attacked Kuwait. A month later, it was a top secret mission for me and three other instructor pilots and four instructor wizzos to board four F-4Gs, wild weasels, and go and fly to the Middle East. And we didn't even know where we were going. So I kissed my wife goodbye at 3:30 in the morning, thinking that maybe Saddam would get scared and go home. And I had volunteered to go 4.5 months prior and go against Iraqi forces and try to figure out what their defenses were. That was my mission. It was a top secret mission. And it was a mission to prepare for war. I kissed my two sons, Jason and Jeremy, goodbye. They were still asleep. And I went to the squadron about, 20-something miles away. And we were briefed. And we took off, fully loaded with missiles, fully loaded to defend ourselves. And at that time, my wife was due in November, but I left in September. That my country called me and I volunteered and said I would go. While being there, I sought some words from God because I was afraid of dying. Like Alton C. Thornton, Private Alton C. Thornton, who gave his life, and I had his Bible, and I didn't know if I was coming back. And the Lord gave me these verses, and I want to read them to you. And this is my hope even now and even tonight. Job 5, 17 through 27. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. And that's what I put my faith in, that God would deliver me and to bring me back home to see my children and the son, my third son, who was named Nathan. And I was so happy that day, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the fields, and the beast of the fields shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. When I was flying to the place that I was going, which I didn't know, the command authorities knew, and they wouldn't give the tanker that I was following where we were going, and then it was given to us in coded form, so Saddam Hussein wouldn't know where the highest value asset of any war, beaten down integrated air defenses. You got to have a group of guys who are willing to go out front and destroy SAMs and radar guided AAA. That was my job. I passed by the same NGO beach that Alton C. Thornton died on. I went down that sea and right down the Mediterranean, not knowing where I was going, passed over Egypt, down the Red Sea, where our Lord delivered the children of Israel. It's like, wow, this is such a wonderful little insight into all the history, you know, and those thoughts were on my mind. And then I hung a left and went across Saudi, and in the middle of Saudi, the command authority said, you're going to Bahrain. Because they had to hurry up and tell us because we were headed toward Iran. And I thought, you know, we must be getting some word soon. Anyway, 4.5 months, I searched for scriptures prior to the war. I was given those scriptures. So I was blessed in a room of 8 guys with the lights off all the time because everybody was on different schedules. And we all had our little cubbyhole, I guess, and we both, I think many of us sought God. Many of us did. But I was reminded of where Alton died and that I wouldn't be here unless he died. We wouldn't be here unless our Lord died to his Father as well. The first night of the war, I thought I was going to die because I'd lost my lights over Baghdad, being shot at and trying to avoid missiles. There was 8 of us. I was a deputy flight lead of an 8 ship. And when shooting our HARM missiles to destroy SAM sites, I forgot to go to oxygen 100% and I forgot to close my eyes. And it's like a freight train with a bright, huge missile coming off the plane. And it temporarily blinded me while all the AAA was coming up at me over Tigris, Euphrates, River Delta, and I was in the heart of Baghdad. And it's so interesting that that's Babylon. I'm flying over Babylon. And I think Brother Marty has said that Babylon would never be. It was the 4th largest army at that time, and the Lord used the United States to take away its military power once again, and Babylon did not rise again. But I didn't really concentrate on that, for at the time when I shot my last missile and rolled upside down, my lights went out. Now I'm going from 27,000 feet to hopefully 21,000 feet and be above the radar, the AAA, and instead I did a split S right into toward the ground because that's the only attitude I have. No instruments. I was pretty much flying by faith. And all the training kicked in. And airmanship, I believe, is when something happens you never have experienced and you survive. And God saved me that night, but I went down to 10,000 feet with every 5th bullet that y'all saw on TV of a tracer, there was 4 in between. And I was like in the middle of all this AAA, and it's like time slowed down. And I think I had held my breath. It slowed down, and as I pulled out and pointed to the dark desert to the west, west of the Euphrates River, I was afraid now at that low of altitude that I would be picked off. And I got up to 30,000 feet and flew as high as I could, and I saw I didn't have enough gas to get home. I jettisoned my outboard tanks and flew up as high as I could, and I then went straight to the air refueling track hoping that I would make it, and I did. With an anthrax shot hurting my right arm that I had just been given 3 days earlier, and now a little bit relaxed, I figured out that my stomach, I had been doing pretty much aerobic tightness in my chest all the time, and it was killing me. My stomach was killing me. My arm was killing me. And now I got to get on a tanker and get gas and hopefully get home back to Bahrain. As I got the gas and started headed back, the sun rose. It was the most beautiful sunrise I ever seen. And I was going to be okay. Now, little did I know I had to fly another time that day, two times in 24 hours. And of the 2,000 sorties flown that day, I was able to fly two of them. That's pretty much where that story ends, other than the fact that I was saved. And God gave me, miraculously, allowed me to survive that because there was missiles coming my way and AAA coming my way. And all the lead and all that I flew through, I don't know how I'm here. I would have been probably a hole in the ground over Baghdad, and they would have written, my obituary said he was shot down when there were lights that were taken out. I don't know. God could have done that. He could have taken those lights out. But he saved me. I got home on March the 10th. 6 months later, I knocked on the door. My wife didn't even know when I was coming because it was secret. And she came to the door and showed me my third son, Nathan. And it was such a wonderful reunion. It was on Jason, my oldest son's birthday. What a glorious reunion. I want to say that I've been afflicted somewhat with afraid to die. Last night I was afraid I was going to die twice. I wake up sometimes at night and it's like I'm holding my breath like I was over Baghdad. And that's what I need deliverance from tonight. I need deliverance from PTSD or whatever you want to call it. I've been afflicted with this cancer. I declare to you that it is dead. It has no place in this body. And that God would rebuild my lymphatic system that was removed because I lost 25 lymph nodes and 23 were cancerous. The great physician can do that. He's my friend. He's a great physician. He can do it. I believe it. So, I wanted to declare tonight, if it be possible, and that's up to Elder Marty Smith, how he conducts that. But I want to declare that I am healed. On 18 December, actually next week on Tuesday, I meet with the Department of Oncology and Radiology at Emory University. And the first thing out of my mouth, as I told the surgeon who took my prostate out, I'm going to receive a miracle. I told him, you're going to get it all. I had no idea he's going to take 25 lymph nodes out, though. So the worst news of my life, one of the darkest days of my life was the day he walked into the room. I told the PA, I'm afraid. He said, well, let me go get the doctor. She was a female. And Dr. John Pateras came in the room, and he said, Mike, it was worse than I thought. I had no idea that the MRI wouldn't reveal the things that were going on. And I had to remove 25 lymph nodes just to make sure that it hadn't spread, but apparently it has. That doesn't stop the great physician. No. That doesn't stop my friend who gave his life for me. I believe in the power of the Lord, our great physician, my brother, the Son of Man. I really do. So tonight I want the church body to be together. One person's hurting, and there's been many of y'all that have been sick. I guess in a way of being afflicted, I now understand a little bit more of physical affliction. I've always been healthy. I still feel healthy. Yesterday, I was determined to do something. I went flying yesterday. and I flew and landed and took off 16 times. Then I put in the cockpit in the plane a young man who was a relative of Jimmy Doolittle, the famous Tokyo Raid pilot in World War II. I was a little afraid, but he had never flown in anything like that, and it was a blessing to him. And I witnessed to him at lunch. I was trying to tell him, like the Mad Gadarene in the city that I am in has been the military. It has been Delta Airlines. I have been blessed to share the gospel with over 200 pilots, I estimate. On my way to India, 17-hour flight in 777s. And the point I'm trying to make is we have windows that come and they close. Today is a window for me. And I want more than anything to tell what the Lord has done. I want to understand the three Hebrew children by faith. We'll be careful with thee, O King. Whether we live or die, we'll be delivered from you. And I say cancer is a Nebuchadnezzar. I think it's a dictator. And I have done so many things to give me more hope in losing weight. 19 pounds now. And I hope and pray that I can stay off sugar. That's going to be my hardest problem because it feeds cancer. But I don't think I have any. So tonight I would like to have it be a period of rejoicing of what God has done to one of his children. And I feel a kinship with that Mad Gadarene. I feel a kinship with the three Hebrew children. I feel a kinship with Joshua, who fought battles and depended on God. And by the way, the enemy killed themselves. And this nation is torn up right now. The enemy is killing itself. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning. And I believe if we come together as a church body and many, many bodies, that we can help this country. But we got to do one thing. We got to go back and tell the city that we're in, whatever that may be, at work. Any opportunity you have, take it, because those windows will close. And that faith, which worketh by love, which I believe, we're given many opportunities. While I was in the Gulf War, I witnessed to people. I shared with them those verses. I said, we're going to go home. And we all did. So guess what? God gave me those verses. I know it pertained to Job, but we are afflicted just like Job. God allowed Satan to afflict Job. A sad note on that story is his wife said, curse God and die. I don't understand that. I don't understand. But God restored him. God delivered him. He maintained his integrity. And I hope and pray that I have just a little bit of the integrity that he has. I really, really love to share with everyone I meet the goodness of God and how great he is. And now, I'll be honest with you, I would like to live a little bit longer and see those children it talks about in Job. That's what I'm depending on, that God will deliver even me now. But if he so chooses to let me die, for whatever reason, I've read some scary stuff. 5 years, given the situation, there's a lot of things that are working against me. But on December the 18th, I won, and I want prayer tonight that my PSA is zero, and that my first PET scan says there's no hot spots, and that I've been delivered. I've already written to Dr. John G. Pateras. I said, you have witnessed a miracle. You have been guided by God's hands to get what you needed to get out of me. So I want to go back and witness to him. I met an African-American lady online, excuse me, not online, but on the telephone when I made my appointment to for radiation oncology. And I wish I could have just reached out and hugged her. Such a godly woman. I can't stand all this race stuff that we have. I love that woman. She said, "Michael, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray." Wow. Okay. So here it is, a lady who's given me an appointment to come see the head radiologist oncologist at Emory is telling me that I need to pray and not worry. What a godly woman. That's just what I needed that day. So I'm going to go see her on Tuesday, and I'm going to hug her neck and tell her I love her. Go and tell in the city you're in. We're all mad Gadarenes. We all have an old nature. We all have a new nature that are children of God. We're to be one body. And I tell you, you know, it's amazing to me that we have such wonderful blessings in the Word of God. There are so many things that are there. I wish I could read all the things that I have here, but in the interest of time, I can't. We need to be one body, one faith, one baptism. I know I'm paraphrasing that, Brother Marty, and forgive me. I can't find the verse right now. But we need to be as a body of believers. I don't know what part of the body I am. I don't know what part of the body y'all are. And it's not, I guess, my business to know. I hope it's not too bad of parts. But we all are made of to be the church body. And I think as a grassroots thing, we need to start from the family. Strong families. Remember last week I spoke of hope. Hope individually. Hope in our immediate families. And then hope in the church body. So, again, may we be witnesses and not lawyers. May we live by faith, which worketh by love. May we understand and know our friend, Jesus Christ, who did give his life, just like Alton C. Thornton. In a way, Private Alton C. Thornton gave his life. And we know of many stories like that. Our country is rich with people who have given their lives for this country. And my heart goes out. I'd say 1%, no more than 5% are willing to die for the country. But we have other ways of dying. We can work here in the warfare that's in this country. Right now we're at war. But we got to come together as a church body in order to face that war and go to that Baghdad and fly over and being shot at. And that's what I tried to speak on last week. Because we don't know what's going to happen when Satan is loose for a season to come against the camp of saints in that holy city. I pray that this morning, this is the holy city. This is the streets of gold where we see what God hath done. It's big enough. 1,500 mile cube for all the family of God, but not everybody's going to come in. We need to share the gospel so that those that are in darkness, as Timothy says, that we share so that the gospel is light unto life and immortality. It does. The gospel doesn't give us life. It doesn't give us immortality. It just sheds light on it. And we have that understanding. We have that news. So, my prayer is that we'll go to the many cities that we have, like the Mad Gadarene, and ask for Christ to crucify our flesh so that we can witness. You can't nail 3 nails in yourself. Most you can get, I guess, is, let's see, 1. I don't know. It's kind of hard to do. 2 at the most, I guess, but you can't put 3. Only the one who is worthy, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, our friend, who died for us. He died as a brother. He died as the Son of Man, the perfect human being with perfect faith, which worketh by love. All those things that I was reading really talk about our Lord and Savior. He was the most wonderful friend of all. And I want to know Him better, and I want to live the rest of my life in praising Him and thanking Him. And it's amazing how you can look in backwards and see the blessings of God. But when you're caught up in the middle of dying and about to die, it's a scary place, and that's when we need help the most. When they put me to sleep, I didn't even know it was coming. It was like a second. For 4 hours, I was in surgery, and I did not even... It's amazing. It was a dark hole. Probably not as dark as what our Lord experienced from the sixth hour through the ninth hour, but it's like a hole missing in my life. And that's when the great physician was able to use Dr. Pateras to take that cancer out of me. So I believe we need to look into that 3 hours of darkness to see ourselves, because He was made what we are. He was made the old nature that cut the mad Gadarene up. He was made what Nebuchadnezzar was as a dictator. Can you imagine being made what something you're not, and being punished and persecuted for what you're not? Made to be sin who knew no sin? And then be trapped there like in a black hole in the center of our galaxy. You can't escape. There are no sinner's prayers that save you eternally. There are sinner's prayers that save you in time. And that's what we need. So guess what? As a child of Southern Baptist upbringing, I prayed a prayer 6 times that God would save me. Why? Because I was afraid of going to hell. And I was taught, you got to say something. You got to do something. I look back and see the blessings. I was a child of God probably at 3 or 4. I can look back and know when I hated to hear things that were said by friends of wrong jokes and things like that. I know now, looking back, but at the time I didn't know it. But I felt it. So there are many times in our lives when we feel that closeness, but I really need to be delivered from the fear of death, and that's what I want to be delivered from tonight. And like I said, I may die in 5 years or whatever it is. I don't want to be afraid of that anymore. I want to be delivered tonight from that. I don't want to sleep at night. And 2 times last night, I came out of a slumber and I felt, if I didn't hold my breath, I was going to die. And next thing you know, I took a breath. And it's like I violated my own law or whatever Satan was throwing at me. And I thought, I've died. So, please deliver me from that, Lord. You're the great physician. Please take away and rebuild my lymphatic system that was taken out. And take all that cancer out of me that's dead. I'm not saying, I believe it's dead even now. It has no place in my body. It's a fiery furnace to me, but one likened to the Son of God is with me, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come before Thee this morning. Please forgive me for sharing so much about me, Lord. I wanted it to be about You, but I feel in my heart there are so many things in our lives that point us to Your grace and Your wonderful mercy, Thy tender mercies, and how You're a friend with us. You love us. You loved us before the world began. You died in those 3 hours, O God, to your Father as the Son of Man, the perfect Lamb of God, and was made a goat and then a scapegoat to suffer 3 hours. I beg thee, O Lord, that thou would deliver us, Lord, from evil and help us to walk in faith which worketh by love, and help this nation, O God, to return, Lord, to respecting each other and respecting the law. Those laws are given for the security of a society and for the betterment of them. But our country is built on biblical principles, Lord. May people not take that away from us. Oh, God, I beg thee that this coming election, oh, Lord, that thou would be in this election and deliver. I beg thee to bless the new Supreme Court justice that's been put forth, a godly woman. 7 children, 2 adopted. Lord, please save us as a nation. But more importantly, save us as individuals, O Lord. Save us as a physical family, Lord, that makes up the greater community, state, and country. And more importantly, save us as a church to be that oneness that we ought to be. Please bless those that are sick today. Lord, may your tender mercy be upon them. All those that were mentioned, oh God, Brother Todd and Brother Austin, all those that were mentioned, Lord. I'm not very good at remembering names, Lord. Help me in that, but you know their names. And the church body is called forth for their healing and for grace in the manner that you would have them to have. And I beg thee that thou would bless this evening's service, Lord, to thy glory. We thank you, and I'm so sorry again for taking so much time, Lord. But I had some things on my heart to share, and I ask that Brother Marty, what remaining time he has, that he would be blessed to say those things that would help us as a body. In Christ's name, we do pray. Amen.